fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. Great to have you for a pre-Friday celebration. Pat yourself on the back, man. You see the light at the end of the tunnel, which I know you are definitely excited about, as am I. So welcome into it. We got a lot to talk about today, man. It's going to be a fun one. What we do on this program, for those that may be relatively new to the show, we cram as much as we possibly can into a one-hour program. It's like a four-hour show crammed into 1 hour of content, and sometimes we may be scatterbrained and your face may hurt by the time you're done, or your ears may bleed, but nonetheless, it's at least somewhat entertaining information, so we'll do our best to keep it going. Welcome into it. Great to have you with us. This is The Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation in Wichita, Kansas, at our flagship radio station. All over the country, multiple radio stations, TV, live streaming, and podcasting. However you watch or listen, welcome aboard your millennial general reporting for duty.
Do it live!
Like we do every single day. All right, coming up, bottom of this hour, we have Isabel Brown. She is the author of the book, The End of the Alphabet, How Gen Z Could Save the Country. Sounds kind of strange, right? I know. So we'll talk about what Gen Z can offer and what they're up to and how times are changing and how do we adapt to them? How do they adapt to what's going on? And are they really the future? I mean, obviously, they're going to be the future of the nation. It's just what direction they decide to go towards as they continue to grow up. So we'll get to that. Now that I'm not the young generation anymore, I'm starting to feel a little bit old and a little bit appalled at that all at the same time. So we'll get to that also in just a couple of minutes. We have a great guest with us as well. But first and foremost, we want to get to our What's Trending story of the day, because this is...
What's trending today?
This is big. This is huge. Or as Donald Trump would say...
And I think we're going to make it bigly.
Yeah, so Joe Biden on the campaign trail and right now working his way through the western portion of the country, apparently, talking to different, obviously, manufacturing plants and union places, because he's desperate to try and get all the Teamsters on board to support him, which they will, obviously, but may take a little bit of time for him. But he was on the campaign trail, was this earlier today, and working with some Hispanic community, which I don't have time to play the Joe Biden breakfast taco, so we'll play that a little bit later on, maybe in the show. But while someone was, whoever it was, introducing him at this restaurant or cafe or wherever he was speaking, which imagine that, Donald Trump's bringing in 30,000 people at a rally. He speaks at a cafe with 30 people in there. But nonetheless, he was there, and while the person was introducing him, he disappeared off the stage and sat with this woman that had a newborn baby, and there was like a gasp and like an awe, and like, what the heck's he doing? Then he gets on stage when he is called up and says this.
Well, folks, I have to tell you straight up, I like y'all, but I couldn't resist that little babe.
Yeah, really love it. Man, what's that's Joe Biden for you. In your latest episode of...
Let's Go Into the Biden Basement.
Kind of weird. Creepy Joe still at it, trying to be Mr. Grandpa Lovey-Dovey. Let's just get along with all the young kids, but that's not quite working out with his record that he's had. Anyways, that's the latest from the campaign trail from Joe Biden on the Biden basement sagas that we continue on. All right, I want to shift gears, though. We had the opportunity to sit down. Didn't get a chance to chat with him yesterday, so we had to do it today as we sat down with him just a little bit ago about his brand new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, is the book that's out, which you can find it on his website and on Amazon as well. But he's nationally syndicated radio host. I have the honor to fill in for him on frequent occasion, and we'll be doing so again in a couple weeks. And he'll be, for my Wichita listeners here, where my flagship is, he'll be coming to the area with a big promotion we have going on with KQAM, but excited to have on here nationally syndicated radio host and author of the book Twilight's Last Gleaming, Mr. Todd Starnes on The Voice of Reason. Todd, how are you, my friend? It's good to talk to you.
Andy, it is so great to be hanging out with you, and hope you're doing well.
Oh, always. It's always great. We're rocking, and it's always good to see you. First and foremost, congrats on the book release. I've seen the pictures. I've seen what you're doing, and what a huge response that you've gotten so far. This is it's so timely with the election season, and we always say this, the importance of the election, but I think now or never, this is one of the most important elections that we could ever have.
Well, I think it is, and every now and again through American history, we've had these inflection points, and it's really a decision time. Where do we go as a nation? And I think this is certainly one of those moments coming up in November that will truly decide the course of history for our country. And so I wanted to write a book that would address those issues going into the election, but also wanted to write a book that would be a little fun and whimsical, too, a little satirical. And I think we've accomplished that. The early reviews, people are talking about the humor in the book. And that was really important for me to make sure that, you know, people came away knowing, yes, there is hope. Yes, America can be saved. And you can also chuckle a little bit at our current circumstances.
We have to do that. It gets so depressing at times watching the news, listening to the headlines. And obviously, you know, we know it. I mean, being on the radio and having to follow this as our job every day to listen to this garbage sometimes, that it gets depressing. It gets so heavy. So you have to come into this with a little bit of sarcasm and humor, or else I think we'd all go nuts by this point.
Yeah, you do. There's a great chapter of the book. We decided to tackle the whole transgender, you know, swimming NCAA stuff head on. And so I wrote a fake Associated Press news story set of the year 2050 when the first trans species swimmer was allowed to compete against the women. And this particular swimmer happens to be a dolphin named Flipper, who identifies as a human. And so we tell the story of how Flipper the dolphin obliterates every swimming record in humanity and was on its way to the championships until an unfortunate incident where Flipper exposed his blowhole in the locker room. So
well done.
Have a little fun.
Well done. We have to. I love it. Todd, with the issues that we're seeing right now, and obviously this could change as we get closer to the election, but is that going to be one of the hot topics and the main focal points for voters and their priorities, do you think? What is going to be that main issue, according to some of the political or the at least the presidential preference primaries that we're seeing right now, immigration is still one of those major issues. But I think the social issues, the trans issue, the schools that are abusing our kids by forcing on this hormonal treatments or sex changes or whatever they're trying to do now, or the girls' bathrooms and locker rooms. I don't know how we got to this point, but I'm curious on how big of an issue you think it's going to be in the general election.
I don't think it's going to be an issue. And I say that based on what happened in Ohio when you had the Trump-backed candidate in the U.S. Senate win over 51% of the vote, Bernie Moreno, born in Bogota, Colombia, just an amazing American dream success story, immigrant coming to America and making good. But what I find interesting about him, he identifies himself as a right-wing populist. And while he is super conservative on a lot of the key issues that you and I would be conservative on, there are some culture war issues, especially when it comes to the LGBT movement, where he is more of a, you would say, liberal. So, and I think we're, you know, we've certainly seen that with some of President Trump's policies. I think the argument could be made President Trump is the most pro-LGBT president in modern American history, even more so than Barack Obama. Yeah. But I think to answer your question, these three issues are going to drive voters to the polls. Number one is immigration. Number two, I believe, is the economy. And number three is crime. And I think that's a triple whammy against the Democrats. And I think we're going to be seeing a massive groundswell of support building, especially in minority communities that are being especially impacted by all three of those issues.
Yeah, I completely agree. And like you said, they're not going to be able to get away from them. The Biden administration's trying to cover their kind of CYA, if you know what I mean, when it comes to immigration, saying that if Republicans would just pass the bill that they tried just a few weeks ago or a month or so ago, that all of a sudden we'd have the authority to shut down the southern border. And the Lake and Riley issue, it's just because of a lack of passing bills from Congress to actually enforce immigration problems. While they get mad that the Supreme Court's allowing Texas to stop and arrest illegal migrants coming across the border into the state of Texas. So I don't know how that's a winning argument for them, and I think they're starting to recognize that.
Yes, but and again, the Democrats, there's nothing they can do. They've already sold out to the AOC wing of the party, so that they are stuck with their positions on those issues. Yeah. And when you look at the numbers of Americans that are being killed on American soil by illegals, that is something that truly resonates. When you've got people on Chicago's South Side who can no longer go down to the community center because it's housing illegal, those folks get the issue. So, you know, again, I write about this in the book, and the name Twilight's Last Gleaming actually came from a speech Ronald Reagan delivered And he made an interesting observation. He said, our national anthem does not start with a declaration, like, you know, we are the best nation on the face of the earth. Mm. It starts with a question. Is the flag still there? Can you still see the flag? And it's this idea that every generation has to fight for freedom. There's no guarantee here, right? Reagan went on to say in another speech that freedom is not passed along in the bloodstream. Every generation has to fight for freedom. And so that really is sort of the narrative of the book. Are we going to fight for freedom? Is our generation going to stand and fight?
I love that. Yeah, we're talking with Todd Starnes, nationally syndicated radio host and author of the new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved?, which you can find online at toddstarnes.com, also on Amazon. To go along with that, on whether we're going to fight for it, whether we can still see the flag being raised and whether we still know that we're still an American nation and still live by those American principles, you mentioned nationalism a little bit ago. Apparently that term's been deemed as bad. Now, if you're a nationalist, then you're like some Nazi or some type of right-wing nut or however they try to classify it. But and I've actually talked about this issue filling in for your program when I've gotten the honor to do that a few times, of this new term of Christian nationalism, and it, that really rose when Mike Johnson became speaker. But now Christian nationalism is the new threat that the left is trying to spread during the election season. And Todd, I don't quite know what Christian nationalism is or why it's bad.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher for me, Andy. I remember in the early days of the country where on election day, every person would go to church, hear a sermon, and then they would cast their ballot. So it seems to me that when you look at the actual intent of the pilgrims coming to America, the intent of the founding fathers who were very well-educated men who wrote our founding documents, all of them are flavored with Judeo-Christian teachings, which is one of the reasons I believe that Democrats hate Jews and Christians. They give Muslims and atheists a pass, but they're coming after us. And the reason why is because they had this idea, this concept that they are God, that you know, we bow down to them, not to the Almighty. And I write about this in the book. I coined the phrase woke evangelicals to describe these people who are now embracing all of this liberalism.
It's a wild time to be alive because they try to say that just because we have a Christian foundation or a Christian belief that therefore we're imposing it onto others, which I don't know how you can get away from your own personal beliefs that influence your stance on certain political or economic or social issues if you're an elected official. But just because you have that belief doesn't mean that you're imposing it on anyone. That just means that that's how you take your issues based on your interpretation.
Well, you know who they're not calling Christian nationalists? That would be all of the black churches that are turned into literal political arenas during election time, where they're literally campaigning from the pulpits. You don't see the atheist group going after their IRS tax-exempt status, and you don't see these commentators accusing people like the Reverend Jesse Jackson of being a Christian nationalist.
There it is, Todd Starnes, nationally syndicated radio host. You can find his book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, also on his website at toddstarnes.com. We will have him back on the show again soon. Great friend. Love him to death. Always appreciate the honor to be able to fill in for his program and one heck of a radio show host himself. Got to take a break. Lots more to get to. We cover what the heck's going on in the world today here on The Voice of Reason. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Radio, TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen to the show. You're a political therapist, therifying you each and every day. So you can come, you can vent about all your political issues, don't you worry, and then you'll leave in a very zen type of mindset. Or you'll get worked up, I'm not sure, either way, depending on how the session goes, right? By the way, programming note for you, do me a favor if you are listening to the program. Also, if you don't get a chance to on the radio each and every day, we have some new outlets for you. And I'm really excited to announce here, thanks to our partners over at OpsLens, OPSLENS.com. You can check them out with their website and their app, all of their social media. We have some really cool stuff, and it's official now. It's like officially official. We've been working out some of the kinks and getting everything up and going. So we are officially now video streaming, which we always video stream, but we're video streaming now on multiple different platforms, including Roku TV with OpsLens. So if you can, if you have your Roku TV, you can go to OpsLens and you can see us live on there every day. And the video is now on our website at HoosierReason.com. So do me a favor, go to HoosierReason.com, H-O-O-S-E-R, Reason.com. There's a tab right at the top that says live, and you have two options. You can now listen to it with the audio, which you've been able to do before, but it's not the greatest quality. And I got to be honest, with our streaming with Podbean, which hosts our podcast site, I may get rid of the audio stream from the website there now, because we now have the video stream. Here's the cool part. Along with the video stream, we now have a chat room right on the website that you can communicate with. Which means while you're watching the video, you can actually comment on the channel. So do me a favor, go to HoosierReason.com, go to live, check out the video, and jump in the chat room there. I am now debating, now that this is going on, we're going to do it in dual form for a while just to see if this continues on or what people like most. But we have a chat room that's in our Podbean live audio stream, but that's only audio. But now we can chat right on the website with our video stream. Hat tips to OpsLens, which are amazing people over there rocking it. They're expanding like a wildfire, and it's really cool to watch. So I'm thinking that we're going to start segueing out the Podbean audio feed and go straight to the website with the video feed. I'm not sure how it's going to work yet, not sure what we're doing, but really cool as we continue to watch this. But now I'm watching it right now. We're seeing the video feed. It seems to be working well, so go check it out at HoosierReason.com. All right, let's get into some what other trending stories of the day real quick here, shall we?
What's trending today?
There is a new report coming out from Reuters.com about one of the largest political donors in the nation. And we don't have a whole lot of time here because we have our guest coming up in just a minute, but it's a perfect segue into our next guest, largely because of the fact that the largest donor so far in this campaign season is a libertarian who has been campaigning and donating funds towards opposition candidates to Donald Trump on the Republican side in the near sum of like $46 million has been donating to campaigns and candidates that were challenging Donald Trump for the Republican primary, but is a libertarian candidate or a libertarian donor and is one of the largest investors in the social media site of TikTok. For those who don't know, it's the individual by the name of Jeffrey Yass, who is a professional poker player who ended up becoming extremely wealthy, apparently, and investing in a whole bunch of stuff, has invested in TikTok, one of the largest donors and investors into TikTok, and one of the largest donors on the political scene so far this year in the sums of $46 million. Now, that being said, he is a libertarian and despises Donald Trump, or at least has been campaigning against Donald Trump by funding some of the candidates that have been challenging him. But now that they're all out, what's he going to do? The challenge, will he be going towards Donald Trump? Will he back out of the politics entirely? Or will he go with one of the third party candidates? I'm intrigued on the direction this is going to go, largely because, ironically, Donald Trump has changed his position on the TikTok ban, saying that it could be creating a monopoly of Facebook and the Meta control. But it is that also a way to try and work with this individual who's got a lot of money tied up into TikTok by Donald Trump advocating to not ban the social media platform? The plot thickens. We'll cover some of that and more when we come back, and a heck of a lot more. It's The Voice of Reason on a pre-Friday celebration. Stay right here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
You know, I've said this many times before on the program, being a millennial myself, that I'm glad the federal government is finally starting to focus on technology, artificial intelligence, social media, censorship on social media. I know that they don't quite grasp it, being part of the generation that's, you know, well above us, that has been running things for a very long time, but they're finally starting to address it, which is good news. Now, they're not necessarily right on how they're addressing it, but at least they're starting to talk about it. In fact, the Biden administration says that they want to control AI so that way no misinformation's out there. But I'm curious on what exactly that misinformation may be.
You are fake news.
I mean, we did have an entire COVID-19 period where we had the push of, oh, I don't know, the fact that if you questioned a mask, or if you questioned a vaccine, or if you questioned staying at home, or if you questioned the double masking, or if you questioned the third vaccine booster that's going to totally, like, save you from the world. But then still, if you didn't get a vaccine, you were going to die, but you were also going to kill the people that got the vaccine that are supposed to be protected from the virus because they got the vaccine, and therefore it shouldn't matter, but you as an unvaccinated was going to kill. It was a whole thing, you know, but if you questioned any of that, then you got silenced off of YouTube, which is owned by Google. And Google content wouldn't allow you to see some of that content. And Facebook started blocking it. And even Twitter blocked it. And then we saw the releasing of all the documents from Elon Musk when he purchased Twitter, or X now, to show how much that they were involved in the censoring of that certain content. So if they control artificial intelligence, then I'm wondering what that content's actually going to look like. Do you think it's going to work out well? Do you think it's going to be fair? Okay. The bigger question is, as we talk about the potential banning of TikTok and the centralization of power with content and social media and platforms to communicate with one another, that it affects the younger generations because obviously they use a lot of social media. I was one of the last generations to actually see the outdoors without a cell phone in my pocket. I know it's a wild world for those that are in the younger generations. It was a strange world back in the day when you could actually walk outside and look at the trees and not take a photo of it with your picture phone that actually takes clear, high-definition video and high-quality photo. It was a crazy world out there. But the young generation, now that we are seeing the adaptation, where are they and are they going to be the ones to properly guide us into the next world? Happy to have on the program as we look at our latest in what's trending.
What's trending today?
And I know that we're going to get along great. I'm so excited to have her on the program and to get her on probably multiple times as well. Author of the book, The End of the Alphabet, How Gen Z Can Save America. Excited to have on here Isabel Brown. Isabel, how are you today?
I am so great, Andy. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on. First off, congrats on the success with the book. It sounds great. I, as a millennial, I have always made fun of my generation, and I apologize for my generation every day for some of the ridiculous stuff that we've done. But I've heard contrasting arguments that Gen Z and the ones coming later are either going to follow in our footsteps of going kind of crazy, or they're going to be the ones that turn around and say, wow, you guys were nuts and we're not going down that road. What are you seeing for Gen Z?
Well, I'll tell you what, I see no reason to have anything but hope for our generation. I decided to write this book really stemming from a place of personal frustration over the last several years of being a bit of a token voice for my generation in political media and activism. I kept hearing this unilateral narrative that Gen Z was destroying America or somehow ruining our country, when that really wasn't, at least anecdotally, what I was seeing in my own life, but really at large, what I was seeing with our generation, with the work I do on social media and digital activism and on high school and college campuses across the country. I keep hearing that Gen Z is this entitled, lazy, socialist generation, which are also commonly words used to describe millennials. But the truth is, like any generation throughout history, what does every group of young people want to do more than anything else? Rebel against the people who came before them. And so in the way that I think millennials really streamlined and normalized this idea of the participation trophy generation, a lot of the mental health issues we're seeing in America, and even an all-out embrace of socialism, Gen Z is shocking the world as we continue growing up into adulthood by culturally and maybe even politically being the most conservative generation our country has seen since World War II.
I've heard that as well, and that gives me hope because, again, yeah, you guys see what we're doing, and you're like, yeah, no, we're not being part of that one, which is nice. So the rebellion's beginning, and they're starting to kind of run off on their own and do their own thing, which is encouraging. The question I have is, are we actually creating an environment for you to thrive and succeed with that drive that you have?
Hopefully this book will encourage a little bit more of that. You know, I think working in the conservative space for so long, we've had this long-running joke that's made sense for many decades that if you're not a liberal when you're 20, then you have no heart. But if you're not a conservative by the time you're 50, then you have no brain. And we would all chuckle and say, haha, how true is that? But that really hasn't been true for the last several decades because the left understands the importance of reaching young people earlier and earlier and earlier. They say your voice matters, your vote matters, and we are going to take stances on issues that you care about, even if our prescribed policy solutions actually make your life a whole lot worse at least we're including you in the conversation and paying attention to the things that you care about. Whereas the Republican Party and most aspects of the conservative movement has really written Gen Z off as this foregone conclusion of being a leftist generation, thinking we can reach them much later on in life. I don't think we have the luxury of that type of time. And I'm hopeful that we will be returning to our roots of what it means to be an American and giving young punk rock patriots an opportunity to fight for freedom for ourselves and every next generation in giving Gen Z a seat at the table.
This sounds so good. I love it. This sounds so good. So, all right. Yeah. Praise. Well done on that one. Well done on that one. So you mentioned the punk rock generation. I joke on this program being the millennial, and if anybody watches the video feed, I have a braided mohawk. I have tattoos. We try, and the whole point of this program is saying that even the millennials, the ones that run tattoo parlors, the ones that just don't like the system, the ones that say, leave me the hell alone, that their ideals, for the most part, are libertarian conservative views that we have to bring to our side, and we have to change the narrative of what a quote-unquote Republican Party actually looks like, because they are the future, I think, of this party. It's not going to be the crazy just stiff white individual in a suit and tie, because that's not going to appeal to the larger brand. And you're saying this generation behind the Gen Z, that's the same message that we have to try and win them over, and we have to start early to get them on board with this.
I couldn't have said it better myself. You know, I think it's funny that we have this very specific image of what being radically countercultural looks like. And while that might have been true in several decades past, what's incredible today is that rebelling against the status quo, being radically countercultural, looks like wanting to get married, which 93% of our generation wants, even when we have the lowest marriage rate in American history. It looks like starting our own businesses instead of being an unpaid intern for a woke CEO in San Francisco or New York, which 62% of us already have. We're rejecting this idea we need a leftist arts education in order to be successful, which I think so many people, right and left, say a college diploma is the only way to be successful in America. We're quitting our birth control pills. We're deleting our dating apps. We're eating real food. And we might not think of these things as these monumental lifestyle decisions and cultural choices for a generation to radically change politics. But as the late, great Andrew Breitbart is famous for saying, politics is downstream from culture. If you want to change what's happening in Congress and the White House, it has to start with changing how people are living their day-to-day lives. And I think it's coming from unexpected places, but that cultural conservative revolution is, in fact, happening.
Amen to that. We're talking with Isabel Brown, author of the book The End of the Alphabet. You can find her on the Tweety at TheIsabelB, and follow her, see all the great stuff. Also find the book on Amazon. Let's talk about social media for a moment, because that is kind of the main focal point we're seeing in D.C. right now. The potential banning of TikTok, the censorship of the content we're seeing on Facebook and Meta with Instagram and Twitter and everything else, that is now the sounding board for the younger generations. That is where the communication goes. That's where people get their news and information. That's where they get their content. And I saw a poll last week that showed that 46% of my generation, beyond your generation and so on and so forth, that 46% were unable to tell the difference between a factual statement like 2 + 2 = 4 and an opinion statement that 4 is the greatest number on the face of the earth. They can't tell the difference between those two. Are you seeing that same issue? And what's your take on this ongoing battle about banning social media sites or censoring content here?
You know, I think what that really stems from is the battle over reality and objective truth. And that's not isolated to social media. I actually would argue it doesn't even stem from social media. But the radical authoritarian left has been trying to distort our understanding of objective truth through every pillar of American culture for decades. And it's just now starting to manifest at the larger societal level. We're seeing this in the education system. We certainly see it in the mainstream media and the era of fake news, as you were just talking about in the previous segment, the entertainment industry, even the church, really unexpected places where all of a sudden there is no truth. It's my truth versus your truth and completely subjective morality. I've been incredibly fortunate as an independent content creator to have the opportunity to reach tens of millions of people every month with content rooted in objective truth. And I'm surrounded by a beautiful community of other Gen Z creators doing exactly that in our spheres of influence, even on TikTok and Instagram and every other platform that you might not think something like that is possible. You know, TikTok has its woes, but so does every other social media platform. And I'm incredibly encouraged to see more and more people my age seek answers to the biggest questions about God, about our country, about freedom and liberty, that they can't find answers to in the existing areas of media in America that are much more focused on feeding us propaganda rather than starting a fascinating dialogue rooted in that pursuit of truth. I'm only seeing that on social media, and I'm hopeful more people will continue speaking up for First Amendment rights and freedom of expression in the digital age as it's increasingly under attack.
Yeah, amen to that. We can see that with some of the popular shows and influencers that are on social media right now with podcasts and shows, because they are asking those deeper questions, which is why, like, Joe Rogan's number one in the nation for podcast downloads, for sure. Isabel, we got to take a hard break here. Can you stick over another segment with us?
I sure can.
Awesome. I love it. I want to continue this conversation on how we can reach this generation, how what we can do to help them and assist them and maybe get this country back on track. The most conservative generation since World War II. Can we get them the resources they need to fix the issues my generation's doing and the generation before me? That's a work in progress there. We'll do some more of that when we come back. Stay here on The Voice of Reason.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Darn right it is. Welcome back into the program. Thanks for hanging out today for the pre-Friday celebration. By the way, again, check out the website, HoosierReason.com. Go to the live tab. We have our brand new video feed on the website and a chat room there. I know, right? Pretty crazy. Yeah. That's what we do. So welcome back into it. We got a couple minutes left here. We're hanging out with Isabel Brown. You can find her on the Tweety at the Isabel B. Follow her. Check out the book. Also, her website at isabel-brown.com. Her book, The End of the Alphabet. An amazing book, and I cannot wait to read it to see what we can do for this next generation, Gen Z. It's such a different world now, and it goes by quick. I have a 9-year-old daughter, and she's part of the, I think she's like the alpha generation. She's recycling the alphabet and starting it all over. And I've always been concerned about what the country is going to look like for her, because of the stuff that I've done, or not me personally, but my generation and the generation before me that set us up for the failure. Thanks, helicopter parenting. But now we have a generation wanting to rebel and go off and do their own stuff and actually consider maybe, consider yourselves adults earlier. Isabel, my generation says they don't even consider themselves an adult until the age of 30. So if you're actually on the adulthood trend before then kudos to you, because we're a little late to the game, I think.
It's certainly what I'm seeing anecdotally in my own communities. You know, I'm 27 almost in May, and I'm getting married in June. And almost every single one of my friends is either engaged, already married, or having kids themselves. So I think there is this excitement for adulthood again.
There is an excitement for it. Now, I wonder where the change happened, because, again, looking at generational differences, there's such a vast movement right now of not wanting to get married, not wanting to buy a home and settle down, but instead, whatever little cash we have, just to go on a world tour and just go sightsee and do the whole YOLO thing. You live once and just go and spend all the money on experiences, which is cool. But I gotta say, I mean, I work so much, I don't think I've ever actually been on a vacation, and I really want to see the world, but I haven't been able to. But there's a shift in priority, it sounds like.
Yeah, although, you know, it's interesting. I write about this in the book. I don't know that they're mutually exclusive in terms of settling down and still having the freedom to explore and have fun. There's kind of this concept of a new American dream that especially manifested after COVID, when everything went remote through our screens. And you saw so many Gen Zers take advantage of that opportunity, who are now working 3 or 4 jobs at the same time, kind of this work smarter, not harder concept. And rather than a white picket fence and trying to buy a home that we will quite literally never be able to afford, there's this sense of adventure and excitement. There's a family I love following on social media called the Bucket List Family, who's raising their kids, traveling all over the world and homeschooling. And between that and this idea of homesteading and moving kind of off the grid and growing your own food, returning to this sense of rugged individualism and adventure is very much a virtue in our generation.
Yeah, amen to that. Isabel, we got just about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left here. So last question for you. But how much do you think that Gen Z trusts the actual government? And what I mean by that is, I think there was an awakening during the COVID-19 pandemic where people realized, oh, wow, look at how much control they have on school boards. Look at how much control they have in the cities. Look at how much control that they have in the workplace, that I can't go back to work unless I get a jab. sort of thing. And all of that came out and came to light. And now we're seeing all the shenanigans that they tried to pull. And I think less people are beginning to trust institutions themselves as a whole. Are you seeing that being deepened into the Gen Z generation?
Absolutely, without question. COVID really shattered our trust in public institutions. But I think even just these last few weeks have been a final nail in the coffin for our generation, with the government very specifically trying to ban our most popular social media platform as a generation in TikTok and silencing so many millions of people who get their information through content creators rather than traditional media. This distrust isn't necessarily a bad thing. And I think a lot of people hear statistics and polls like one that came out this week that 73% of our generation is not happy with the direction of our country as a bad thing. But I think it's a great launching pad for us to take back the driver's seat of American culture and politics and build ourselves a country we're proud to call home again.
Yeah, amen to that. Isabel, we got just about 30 seconds left, but how can people find your book and how can people find your website?
You can find me, my live stream, and all of my content across platforms at The Isabel Brown, and buy The End of the Alphabet anywhere books are sold.
I love it. The End of the Alphabet, How Gen Z Can Save America, and I hope you do. We need to shift the gear. My generation has AOC as a spokesperson and rep for our generation, which I apologize for.
This is a garbage disposal.
I know. So we need to fix that, and hopefully you guys can do it. Isabel, thanks so much. We got to get you back on the show again real soon, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. There it is. Isabel Brown, go and check out the website. Go and check out the book, The End of the Alphabet, How Gen Z Can Save America. That does it for us today. Back at it again tomorrow for a Friday, wrapping up the week. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. Be the ones making the difference in your community. And you can do so by speaking up. Speak out, speak loud, speak proud, speak the truth, and always speak some reason. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you on the radio.